Social media platforms are taking a tougher line on coronavirus content, but most of their moderators are off the job. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This week, Instagram announced big changes in how it will moderate content on its platform to try to stop the spread of disinformation around COVID-19. Instagram said Tuesday it will aggressively take down some content and deprioritize accounts that aren't from trusted sources. That's in line with what parent company Facebook is doing and what social media platforms have teamed up to try to do as well. But the truth is, this moderation is really, really tricky, partly because of technology and partly because of the demands of the pandemic itself. Alex Stamos is director of the Stanford Internet Observatory and former chief information security officer at Facebook. He told me content moderators have all been sent home for privacy and safety reasons.
A content moderator, that's all they do. They spend all day looking at content, and that includes content that might be private, that might be in private groups, that might be in direct messages between users and the like. And so as a result, a lot of work goes into protecting the privacy of those users to make sure that that private information does not leave the computer of the content moderator. And you do a bunch of technical protections to make sure they're not just kind of walking around and looking at people's information. All of those things are extremely difficult or impossible to do at home. And so if you send your tens of thousands of content moderators home, you end up having to make a decision of whether or not you want them to work. But if you do so, you're going to have to loosen the privacy protections that have been used to protect users' data in the past.
Now it sounds like these platforms are relying a lot more heavily on machine learning. In one case, you know, we saw Facebook sort of accidentally taking down almost everything that mentioned coronavirus. What are the trade-offs, and is there any way around, you know, mistakes?
So you're right that the companies are going to have to rely a lot more on machine learning. And so as you change the ratio for the number of people making judgments and the number of machines that are then applying those judgments, then you inevitably end up with less accuracy. And that means you might take down content that should not be, and it might mean you miss bad things. But I think that's exactly the kind of thing we're going to have to get more used to.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I feel like it seems like potentially some of the limitations, but maybe also some of the efficacy of these tools might come into clearer focus now.
Right. Especially since the Christchurch shooting, which, you know, there was a huge push for more content moderation. And the truth is, machine learning is not that smart. We're going to see a lot more content moderation that does not take in the subtleties of human communication, of comedy, of sarcasm, of repeating some kind of phrase because you're criticizing it. All of those things are classically very difficult for these companies to deal with. They've had to, in those situations, punt that out of the machines to humans. But now that those humans are working from home, there's a real trade-off between people's privacy and doing a better job with content moderation.
So what do you think that this will look like? Will they have to err on the side of more intensive, I guess, censorship, for lack of a better word?
I think every platform is going to have to make their own calculation. And to be frank, I think politicians and the media are going to have to be more realistic about what kind of speech control do we want at scale. The truth is there's been kind of a moral panic around tech platforms, especially social media, for the last couple of years, where the human problems that are reflected online, the immediate response from politicians and the media is we want the tech companies to fix it, right? And it turns out that asking these companies to do that level of control of speech in a complicated society like ours has downsides. That was always true. But the fact that these companies are now having to deal with these issues shorthanded with way less human intervention, I think is going to bring that into much sharper relief.
Yeah, absolutely. If you see platforms just basically say, okay, well, wholesale, we will have to block all information, nobody will be happy. But clearly, if misinformation gets through and lives are lost as a result, that's ends up being a problem for platforms also. I mean, is this a lose-lose, I guess?
I think there is no way that you can solve these societal problems by making the speech that reflects those problems go away, right? The other core issue here is that in a number of these areas, but especially coronavirus, a lot of the misinformation is coming from public officials, right? And so in a situation where the president of the United States is saying things that aren't true, then the entire media and social media environment is going to struggle with how to deal with it, right? And I think this is actually the other side of the coin of the discussion of whether the media should still carry Trump's news conferences live. Mm-hmm. It's clearly newsworthy, anything the president says from the podium in the White House. But if it's both newsworthy and untrue, or newsworthy and harmful, what is the responsibility of both the media and then the social media intermediaries to either put more information around that and wrap it in context? And so far, what they've been trying to do is to counter that elite misinformation with direct links to sources like the CDC and like. And so as long as hopefully there are parts of the government that are still somewhat independent and that are sharing information that is still trustworthy and reliable, they still do have an option that, you know, next to a Donald Trump Facebook post or tweet, that they can also have a link directly to the CDC and then allow people to make their own decision.
Where does ad tech and advertising mechanisms fit into this conversation, if at all?
So when you look at disinformation as a problem overall, you have to deal with it in a different way for different kinds of products. And the online product that is most risky is advertising. And that's for two reasons. One, advertising allows people to trade money for speech amplification. And the second is advertising is one of the only ways that you can put information in front of somebody who did not ask to see it, right? So, you know, the number one determinant of what is on somebody's Facebook newsfeed is who their friends are and who they follow, right? On Twitter, it's who you've decided to follow. So you've made an affirmative decision that these are the people that I want to hear from. Advertising bypasses all that. It allows people for whom you have no relationship to take information to put it on your screen. And that can be incredibly powerful for commercial purposes, but it can also be very risky from a disinformation perspective. I think most of the companies have banned, in this case, when you talk about coronavirus, it's a little bit easier than the general political issue in that there's a handful of terms that you can ban, right? And what a number of companies have done is they have by default banned any use of certain words in their advertising. Although what you see now is that advertisers are coming up with euphemisms. In this case, people will talk about the illness or the virus or use some kind of euphemism and not say coronavirus or COVID or like. But there is an interesting question on the commercial platforms like the eBays and the Amazons of what is the appropriate response here. You know, it is not illegal to sell masks. It is not illegal to make a profit off of it, except in some certain circumstances. But it might be kind of morally reprehensible in some ways. Although medical professionals are also getting PPE and masks via some of these platforms. So I think it's actually a very difficult balancing act of, do you allow normal commerce to happen even in a situation where the things that are being sold are, you know, should be rationed and given to very specific people? You know, overall, there doesn't seem to be very much legal guidance. And I think this is the kind of place where you actually want states and the federal government to step in because there's a lot of different ways you can sell stuff online. And without guidelines across multiple companies, anything that any individual company does is going to be ineffective.
Alex Stamos is director of the Stanford Internet Observatory. Interestingly, one of the most active and up-to-date forums for coronavirus information right now is on Reddit, where volunteers do all the moderation. And now for some related links. There's a good story on NBCNews.com about the Reddit message board r/coronavirus, which has now grown to some 2 million people. The 60 volunteer moderators include infectious disease researchers, computer scientists, virologists, even doctors and nurses. And I've seen several stories popping up over the past few weeks about how Wikipedia is also a trusted source of information in this time of fast-flying rumors and home remedies and panic. We did a similar story earlier this year about Wikipedia, based on the idea that when the incentive is information and not advertising or engagement, at the end of the day, the product can be a little better. And here's what else we're watching in tech. Just in time for Amazon to start hiring like crazy to fulfill orders during the pandemic, warehouse workers there just won the fight for paid time off. Not even sick leave, like actual vacation. A California-based labor group has been pushing for the coverage since December after discovering that the Amazon employee handbook described benefits that warehouse workers weren't getting. Those workers are eligible for the PTO starting this week. But the new battle they're fighting is that they say Amazon isn't doing enough to protect them from getting the coronavirus. Warehouse workers are asking for face masks, hand sanitizer, hazard pay, childcare, and even just time to wash their hands. While that is happening, the Wall Street Journal reported Tuesday that top U.S. executives, including Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, sold off a whole lot of stock since the beginning of February, as the outbreak began to intensify, but before the market started to tank. Bezos sold almost $3.5 billion worth of Amazon stock. In fact, he sold almost as much stock in the first week of February as he sold in the previous 12 months combined. Finally, a story that made me at least feel a little better. This comes from the Washington Post. My phone informed me on Saturday that my daily screen time average had gone from about 4 hours to over 7 in the course of the previous week. And apparently, this is a thing. People all over Twitter are joking about their horrifying screen time reports during quarantine. And while I agree it's time to put the phone down for both my mental health and my right wrist, which kind of hurts, you guys, I also have to find a way to turn off that little nag because, by God, I am not shaming myself for screen time during the apocalypse. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.